This is the message delivered by Pastor Hon on February 20th, 2022. The message title is Praying to the Glorious Father, and the scripture passage is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Good morning. Let us read from the Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The Apostle Paul, who heard about the faith and the love of the Ephesian church members, was delighted and grateful even in prison, and he still prayed for them. Prayer is like breathing for Christians. Our breathing carries fresh air oxygen into the bloodstream throughout the body, renewing the body and keeping the body alive. Similarly, prayer, a dialogue with God, is just breathing. With prayer, Christians feel alive. You will get the feeling that you are being made alive by God. Looking at the book of Genesis, when God first created a man, it is said the breath of life was blown into his nose. God is the source of life, who makes each breath effective. He saves not only the body, but also the spirit. If you look at Revelation chapter 22, at the very end of the Bible, you will see trees rooted in the river of water of life flowing from God the Father and the Lamb Jesus. The act of praying to the true God is to connect with the origin of life, remembering the connection with God. Oh, I'm alive. I'm allowed to live. And at the same time, it guides our point of view to the origin of salvation, that we are living eternal life and not perishing life. When you read the prayer of the Apostle Paul, you can see that Paul himself prayed as a proof that he was connected to God, and that his point of view was led to God's view by prayer. Furthermore, he prays that the saints of the Ephesian church will stand in a similar perspective to that of Paul. If I summarize in one sentence the content of Paul's prayer in the passage of the Bible that I read earlier, it is, please know God. He prays, you might understand what God has done, what God is trying to do, God's hand, and God's work. There is no story of our part here. We pray, please help us understand God's will, which goes beyond our thoughts and plans, not like, we want to do this, so please God, answer me. We do not talk about our side of the story at all. It is only about God's side. Looking at the weight of the prayers in the Bible, not limited to Paul's prayers alone, we can see that there are far more stories about God than our urgent thoughts and wishes. But our lives often have urgent matters, so most of our prayers are overwhelmingly more about us than about God. Of course, that doesn't mean that such prayers are bad or inappropriate. Looking at the prayers such as those in Psalms, there are many prayers saying, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Lord, please forgive me. Lord, please rescue me. Destroy all my enemies. But almost always, the end point of all those prayers comes to God's story. At first, sadness, frustration, and urgent need of the person who prays are listed, but when he suddenly returns to himself after expressing his thoughts, the prayer changes. To whom am I praying? Who is the one who responds to my prayer? Isn't it God the Father? Then he begins to look back on the past, recollecting what God did to him and how God did to his ancestors, returning from the story of the prayer himself to the story of God. In the end, remembering the existence of the person who is the object of prayer surpasses his urgent need overwhelmingly. The person who prays will be guided to the point where he realizes that the very existence of God surpasses now. No matter how much I need it now, no matter how imminent it is now, God not only is looking at everything but also knows the truth of all its contents. And God's wisdom is far deeper than mine. God is omnipotent. God is definitely the one who benefits all of me. My soul, why are you so worried? Finally, the prayer ends with knowing God. Prayer is to know God and to go to see him. To meet God means to learn God's will. That means that the more you pray, the more your prayers will identify with God's plans and thoughts, what pleases God, and the more you will be dyed with his thoughts. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer while saying, God the Father already knows what you need before you pray, so pray so that the will of God be done. However, prayer is also a process of faith to align our thoughts that are in conflict with God's thoughts with his, and eventually to overlap and to fit together with them perfectly. When I remember that prayer is to be dyed with the will of God, I always have a bit of a bittersweet memory. About 23 years ago, I was about to graduate from university, and although I had already decided myself to become a pastor, my path forward, or which seminary to go to, had not been fixed yet. Since I was accustomed to living in Japan, I thought that I would make as many loopholes and excuses as I could and would quit halfway through if I go to a seminary in Japan. So I thought about going to a seminary overseas to cut off the retreat from the beginning, and I was preparing for it. However, it was hard to decide. At first, I thought of going to an American seminary, but the door was closed. I also thought about a Korean seminary, but then I thought, I'm too lazy to keep up with the expectation from the Korean seminary. It's too strict for me. And I thought it was not my choice. While saying cut off the retreat, I was spoiling myself. So when I was in trouble, a good friend of mine, who was also a member of the Bible study group at the university and also the member of the student group in Tsuchiura Megumi Church, said to me he would pray for me. He knew well that I was in trouble because I couldn't decide my course at that time, and he also knew that I wanted to become a pastor. So I thought that he would pray to God in line with my intentions. We closed our eyes and he began to pray for me. Then he prayed to God repeatedly, "If it suits your will, or may your will be done." He repeated, "If Hong's decision to become a pastor suits your will, or if Hong's going to a seminary is in your will." And finally, he closed his prayer by saying, "God, your will, not Hong's thoughts be done." While listening to his prayer with my eyes closed, I felt, why does he pray like this? I wonder if he does not want me to go to a seminary and become a pastor. But I was completely wrong. He was not wrong at all. His prayer was far more appropriate than my thought. Every time I remember him praying for the will of God instead of praying for the thoughts of a friend in front of him, I feel embarrassed and apologetic. I once said to him, "You prayed like that at that time." And he said, "That's right. My prayer was right and Hong-kun's thoughts were wrong." We are still on good terms even now. Paul's prayer in today's passage of the Bible is a prayer filled with the thought, please move from a prayer filled with stories about us to a prayer full of God's stories. Despite the fact that he was more in an urgent situation than anyone else because of being treated as a prisoner for being a Christian and imprisoned, when I read Paul's prayer, I am impressed that remembering God's existence surpasses overwhelmingly the imminent situation in which he was placed. It is not necessary to look at the entire content of his prayer, but the first part of the prayer clearly shows that the very existence of God is overwhelming to him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father." From the first part of this prayer, "God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father," it is clear that Paul was pleased to be overwhelmed by the very existence of God. By the time he prayed with these words, Paul being a weak human being, there must have been a list of Paul's own sadness, frustration, and urgent needs in prison. But Paul ended up with this word, "God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father." "I am in the position and privilege to call the true only God the Father," he said. The relationship between me and God is the relationship between the Father and the Son because of the redemption of Jesus Christ, he said. The testimony of the Holy Spirit has led to affirm a belief that although the human Father may not live up to expectations, God the Father will never disappoint him. All these are summarized in the word, "God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father." Jesus once said about prayer in Book of Matthew chapter 7 verses 9-11. "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" This word of Jesus is now in Paul as a matter of fact and as a real feeling. "Because of Jesus Christ, my God is my Father, I am his Son, and if my God is the glorious Father, then I, as his Son, am in glory now." And the conviction of Paul himself as a child of the glorious God, that now is the time for God the Father to give me a good things. This leads to the first word, God of Jesus Christ, the glorious Father. To call God the glorious Father is Paul's own awareness that what we Christians will inherit in the future is so glorious, and that we are promised to actually be put into the glory. Paul also prays that the awareness given to him will be extended to the saints of the church in Ephesus. Let us read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. He prays that those who believe in Jesus Christ will be aware of the abundance of glory that has already been given. He prays Ephesian Christians might remember that the glory of the glorious Father is extended to the Christians who are his children, rather than just calling God the Father. Not only that, but Paul is also asking the readers of this letter, including us, to be aware of it. We can say anything that happens to us and ask for help before God. King Hezekiah's prayer appears in the book of Isaiah. King Hezekiah enters the temple of the Lord with a threatening letter sent from the powerful Assyria. He spreads the letter and says, God, look at this letter. Please look at the contents of this letter. We are about to perish now. I don't know what to do as a king, and I have no power. Please do something. Devoting himself completely to prayer and not caring about the eyes of his vassals, he wore rags, covered himself with ash, abandoned his pride as a king, and prayed to God. We can pray to God for anything by completely devoting ourselves. We pray, please cure the illness. Please let me pass the exam. Please help me recover. No matter what difficulties we are facing, health, money, children, family, work, we can pray, and we do pray, we'll be crushed if God, you do not specially help us here and now. However, this is not the most important point of our prayer, and praying for it alone is out of the main line of prayer. Prayer is more important, more fundamental, more spiritual, and more serious. To put it simply, Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and you will be given everything you need in addition to it. The true meaning of the words that Jesus taught prayer is, can you pray, God, I seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and I do not want anything else that I need. I hope that you'll be able to pray like that, and Jesus will guide you to pray like that. In the word, the glorious Father, there is a premise in the prayer that the problems I'm facing now do not break me, do not perish me, do not end me, nor can I be concluded with failure. The problem is not a tragedy. God is by no means abandoning the children he has chosen and called. Here is the answer to all. When we pray to God the Father because we know that God is the object of our prayers and the object to appeal our needs to. We neither murmur to ourselves by staring at the void nor explode our passion and enthusiasm when we pray. We know there is a person who listens to our prayers, and he is my Father, and I know him. When we call God the Father, we know who he is to us. We have at least knowledge that he is my Father, listening to my prayers, who showed his glory by sending Jesus Christ for me, crucifying him, and letting him die, and that he welcomed me as a child of glory. This is why we can start praying to him. Prayer itself is already a glorious act of faith by the seal of the Holy Spirit, as in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. So the fact that a Christian pray itself is evidence that they already have a warranty card. The saints in Christ are a guarantee that they can never end in failure. No matter what the circumstances, there is no way to prevent our prayers. Even if we close our mouth, nothing can stop our prayers. Being able to pray is one of the perfect guarantees that confirms us that we will be inevitably led to the throne of glory, which God himself has said to do so, and he will surely accomplish it. Praying to glorious Father itself confirms our glorious status to ourselves. It also serves as a basis for going out to prayer with expectations. What are our expectations? The expectation is that as the glorious Father can be called the glorious Father, we will be led to a similar place of glory and will not be rejected or revoked in that place of glory. At the same time, entering into prayer with this expectation also means knowing to go out into prayer by dropping the desire for physical worldly things. It also means when we go out to pray, we know how holy God is. The awe, our trust, and with the attitude of knowing our status and our standing position to be obedient to his authority. No matter how urgent I am, I have to wait for his settlement. This is the shocking perspective, direction of prayer, and the shade of prayer that appears in the prayer of Apostle Paul. Let us live a prayer life according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in which we can confirm the joy of meeting God, the joy of having time, spending time with God, and that our daily lives are holy, spiritual, and under the influence of heavenly glory. Let us pray.